Hello, and welcome back to Lodging on Demand. In this episode, Lodging Editor-in-Chief Dennis Nessler talks with a trio of hotel industry veterans about their outlook on the lodging industry for the second half of 24, as well as current industry conditions. Isaac Collazo, Vice President of Analytics at STR. Charles Oswald, President and CEO at Aperture Hotels. And Carrie Ranson, President of Operations at Rains, discuss a range of topics, including economic and geopolitical issues, interest rates, and group business trends.
Hi, this is Dennis Nessler, Editor-in-Chief of Lodging Magazine. Welcome to our podcast today. We're going to take a look at the second half outlook for the hotel industry. With us today, we have Charles Oswald, from President and CEO of Aperture Hotels, Isaac Collazo, STR VP Analytics, and Carrie Ranson, President of Operations for Rains. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good morning.
Great. Making it through the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's easier said than done, right?
It's a fact.
So I want to talk a little bit about the second half outlook for the lodging industry. Isaac, I'm going to start with you. I know you guys issued a report today about construction being up to the highest point since February. Maybe just give me a 30,000 foot view from STR's perspective of what you guys are seeing.
Yeah, I think right now what we're seeing is somewhat a better second half than the first half, right? So right now we finished the June year to date at 1.4% RevPAR growth. And we're still predicting for the full year at about 2%. So therefore we expect, some improvement. But the thing we've been watching that really surprised us at the beginning of the year was the continued declines in demand, particularly around economy hotels. And that persisted. It's not as bad as it was at the beginning of the year, but we're still seeing that kind of decline and the whole bifurcation of the industry where the upper end is doing pretty well, but the lower end is starting to flounder a bit. So I kind of think as we think about summer that we're kind of like in summer doldrums. And so a lot of ups and downs. And then also what's really interesting this week, looking at this week's data, is the volatility. So we expected the week after 4th of July to be down, but it was more severe than we expected. So a lot more volatility in the numbers than what we had seen in the past.
Interesting. Charles, where is Aperture land in terms of the segments? And have you seen that bifurcation that Isaac's speaking of?
Absolutely. What's happening at the economy and mid-scale, you're seeing demand is actually tracking down. RevPAR is down. But it seems that the customer is leaning into the upper upscale and upscale segments or chain scales, and they're looking for experience.
Okay. Yep. Carrie, you seen the same thing?
Yeah, I think it's really been, I think holistically we're there. We are having a market-to-market situation where I think the July 4th piece was a bit – I think down a bit more than we thought, and then started to think, is this a sign of things to come? And in those markets, surprisingly, we've made our way back, but we're in a similar situation. It's really market to market component. It's not across the board, but we've seen the drops in the summer, especially I think with what we thought year over year we'd be better than the first quarter, kind of where we are. Yeah, it's been a bit of an ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think the point of what Carrie is saying is, every market certainly is unique and it has its own thumbprint. What's happening in, say, a beachfront leisure property is certainly very different than what we're seeing in some of the urban submarkets. From our standpoint, it seems like a lot of the blue collar leisure traveler that segment's backed up, but the white collar leisure traveler is doing just fine. And then at the same time, we're watching corporate transient creep back as the hybrid office mandates are taking shape, and so we're seeing more of that in small group business.
Yeah, I think I concur with all that, because what we've been seeing this year, even though we've seen lower growth than we expected, it's all been for the top 25 markets. So it is that creep up of transient business, plus also the return of group. And so the other thing we've been thinking about, and we're going to address at the Hotel Data Conference in 2 weeks' time, is the whole, not notion, but what we're seeing in terms of short-term rentals. they're actually seeing gains in demand while the hotel industry is actually seeing declines, right, over the last several months. So that's, you know, are people trading differently? Like, it's not trading up or down, just, you know, trading for cost to other alternatives, which could be an issue. But that's something that Jamie Lane and I will be discussing, again, like I said, in about 2 weeks. We have, the research is almost complete, so I can't give you the answers yet, but we're working through it. So, so we think that's an issue.
Place to reveal it, Isaac.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was thinking about that we've been talking about is outbound continues to be very strong. So, and that outbound tends to be the higher rated business, what you were talking about, Charles, the white collar type of leisure demand. And that continues to grow. And we were very surprised that it's continued growth. And if I remember correctly, like May was up 11 or 13% year over year on outbound. It's just, again, much stronger than we expected.
Gary, are you seeing, what are you seeing group wise in the back half?
Yeah. So, I mean, we look really good September, October, and we're seeing about across the board a 2% increase in group at our properties as we go in. But, you know, November, December start to see that fall. I think the election component and the uncertainties with that are probably ticking into that. But our September, October, where I thought we potentially would start to see some wash potentially from what was there, has actually gained some momentum, and holistically across, we're about a 2% increase with it. Yeah, you know, look, with everything that's happening right now, politically, does that hold? I think that's probably a concern I have currently, but right now it does. The group piece that is still looking good and holding on, but we're going to need that increase to carry us through the end of the year for sure.
Yeah, Charles and Isaac, any thoughts on political situation and you know, potential impact without politics, obviously.
Are you really asking Charles that question?
I know. I'm biting my tongue, but you know, one thing, let me ask, was anybody here surprised? I mean, at this point, it looks like Trump is likely to be the next president, right? I mean, if we're all just looking at the numbers, so I'm just being objective here for a second. And so I have to ask, yeah, and the markets are responding favorably to that, it seems, to date. But was anybody surprised here to see the president of Teamsters on the stage for the first time in 121-year history, speaking at the RNC? You know, so when you ask about like political ramifications, I would argue that the current presidency is probably the most labor-friendly administration in the history of this country. And we might have thought that the Republicans are, you know, have always been lean more pro-business. And but we have to ask ourselves, is the next NLRB going to look as maybe business-friendly as Trump's, you know, Trump first presidency? It's just a question I got to put out there. So you know, there is an economic impact to that. And if I were to quantify it, I'd probably quantify it this way. I would look at, you know, what has been the, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what has been the increase in the hospitality super sector average wages and benefits over the course of the last 5 years. And I compare those to what CPI was for the same period. And the answer is that the average cost of wages in the hospitality super sector rose 12% higher than CPI. Right? So when you combine that with inflation that's not transitory, and you look, you know, you take wages, you take the unbelievable increases that we saw in insurance during that period, that creates a real pressure on EBITDA. So maybe there's one political question for you there. And I'm curious to hear what others of you.
The only thing I would add is that I don't disagree with the numbers. So, you know, that's like, look at the same numbers you do, Charles. But some of that, the wage increases was because of labor scarcity, right? So you had to pay more because no one wanted to do the job. So there's been that kind of inflation because demand exceeded supply. So I don't know if it's an administration thing. Obviously, there is some pieces to that, of course. I understand that. But I would just put that as a
note of caution. I'll put two comments to that without going any further down the rabbit hole, but I'll just say this in a notional example. We're in San Francisco, Union Square, and we're negotiating with unions right now, right? Yeah. And we're in a Class B hotels, which is, you know, like a 250-ish room full service property. But in our group, they're looking at $7 wage increases over a period of $2. That's $7 average wage for a hotel. Think about what that is in terms of percentage. It's pretty remarkable. In the Class A properties are at $10 over 2 years. That's the proposal on the table. And this is the same group where we saw Hilton, Park 55, Oxford Capital just handed back the keys to another half a dozen other properties. I mean, it's like really struggling. There's no money there, but that's a strain. And I would say that, that the labor sentiment that exists today makes that really easy for them to do.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. No,
because we don't want to run out of time.
I feel like I'm moderating a debate here.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
We went down this rabbit hole. I told you.
I said political. I did not go into specifics. But anyway, let's move on. Interest rates. Isaac, what are you seeing? What do you think is going to happen? And you guys were talking about construction a little bit. How is that going to impact deals getting done and projects getting financed?
Yeah, still coming somewhat of an unknown for me because, again, we haven't really seen much movement either way, right? And there's other issues with construction. I was actually surprised to see the pipeline increase, the number of properties under construction, and that warrants a lot more review by me. I haven't looked at it carefully enough to see what changed, what actually, and what's driving it. So I don't know. At this point, I still, we expect at least one rate cut, but again, it's not going to be tremendous rate cut, right? So it's going to be so gradual. So I just don't see it as a big driver for pushing projects over the line in my mind. I still think it's going to be difficult. And these guys, I know Kerry is more involved with that than I am, but I don't see it doing much at this point.
We've got a lot of activity. A lot of energy being exercised on opportunities, and some of our markets where we have some pretty stronghold relationships with local lenders, we've had some success. Project size obviously dictates that a bit. And then some of the projects where we're working on some larger opportunities ground up is 3-4 months worth of work and not being able to end up making it pencil, and most of it being, not only construction components, it's also the fact that you can't get the debt right, and which ends up adjusting the capital stack. And so then you're back to the drawing board, of which you're putting the project potentially down the road. That's where we continue to struggle with it. We've had some success with some smaller assets that we've gotten off the ground and opened. We've got two that are under construction, but there's probably another four that are a bit larger and some lifestyle opportunities that we're struggling to kind of get across the finish line. While we keep trying to kick down doors, it's just the debt component's just not there.
Yeah. Charles, any thoughts?
Yeah, look, we have a couple of properties that are under construction right now or going through conversion where the sponsor is funding it purely out of discretionary cash. I mean, unbelievable, yeah. Right? I mean, that's a big load to carry. And we'll look for permanent financing at CO. But, I'll bounce one of these maybe back over to Isaac and just ask you a question. The last time I looked at the Smith Travel, the CoStar numbers, you were showing like 39% increase in planning, which is 39. I mean, an unbelievably high number, but it was only like 0.6% of actual new supply year to date. Is it still holding somewhere around that number?
I believe so. I didn't look at it that closely, but yeah, I believe that's still holding up. So
I think that speaks to what the challenge really is and what the market's facing when it comes to actually executing the planned project. Agreed. That's a big gap.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. What are you guys seeing rate wise? We talked a little bit of softer demand, maybe. Kerry, what are you guys seeing in terms of rates and your ability to drive rate?
Yeah, we've held on. We started to see kind of back end of Q1 where we had a bit of our competitors starting to drop rates and I think trying to capture a bit more occupancy as the occupancy started to soften. And so it's affected us a bit in some of those markets and where it really has been really midweek where we started to see some business travel or transient business coming back in. And started seeing that drop. And it's, you know, unfortunately, it's continued into the summer. I think as you heard Isaac in the beginning, you know, some of the softening in the summer on the weekends has been a bit surprising, which has obviously also caused, even though high demand levels, I think a panic of trying to compete at where we were last year. And instead of studying rate opportunities, we've had a lot of our competitors and some of our markets dropping. And so with it, you know, unfortunately you're playing that game of it. And so we lucky for us, you know, you have multiple markets, but for the most part, you know, majority of our stuff, we've seen a bit of almost probably close to about a 1.7, 1.8% drop in rate in the last probably 3 months as we've done this. And it's unfortunate because from that standpoint, the dynamic price component piece becomes, unfortunately, a drag down as well from a midweek perspective as well. And so a bit of that effect, you know, and then look, I got concerns that our normal going back into school piece, August, September, I think you'll start seeing some more drops. And, you know, we've been having some big discussions across the portfolio with strategies and whatnot, and whether we'll hold or, you know, are we going to have the ability to hold? And so we potentially right now are looking at what could be as high as a 3% rate drop, unfortunately.
But just and to give you some perspective, I mean, for the full year right now, or year to date, we're up 1.8%, right? And so, and what we should keep in mind though, that inflation, going back to what Charles was talking about, inflation's running at plus 3% for the year so far, right? So, I mean, we are actually losing in terms of that real ADR because, again, we've seen such tremendous price increases. But now that ADRs are coming down, that's a real pressure. That's another pressure point for all the hotels out there. So just we got to keep that in mind. That 1.8 is, again, almost half of what the inflation rate is this year.
So two things I say on that, though, is you I believe it's CoStar had reported that transient demand has actually recovered. And a lot of people, you know, that hadn't totally sunk in, but it's actually recovered and exceeded 2019 numbers by 1 million travelers per quarter, right? So what we've seen is a 2% increase in transient demand. And a lot of that's actually happened, of course, in those urban markets and during corporate business, hybrid corporate business patterns, I should say. So the question about is what we should probably be looking at as hoteliers is what should be happening versus what might be happening as we sit here today is what we probably should be looking at is this 3-2 pricing power. If the customer is traveling on a hybrid basis and is compressed into Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, then should that create more pricing power for us in the middle of the week? And the answer is it really should, right? Because demand's going up during those same patterns. So I'm hopeful that as an industry that takes hold and that we recognize the opportunity there.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, we're almost out of time, guys. I just want to go around, kind of get your final thoughts, what you see ahead for your company and the industry going forward the next 6 months or so, maybe best case scenario, I guess, you know, try to keep it positive. Kerry, you want to start?
Yeah, I think we'll continue to look a bit from a positive perspective with our group pickup. And I think we're looking around a 2% increase for us across the board as we kind of get into third quarter and fourth quarter. I think you hold on to that and trying to build enough momentum going into the November and December timeframe. And, you know, I think as we get through the election year, which traditionally, if you go back, has always been a bit of a roller coaster, you're seeing a bit of that this year as well. and, you know, perhaps the positive side of, you know, an administrative change, build some confidence back there from a, I think from a business perspective to change some things and to hopefully lighten, or to loosen the spend and getting back to business, I think is probably a positive that you hope for. Reality wise, there's definitely, as Isaac always says, there's some potential wins on the water. And that's, I think, where you sit there and look at moving forward for us. But right now, there is obviously optimism from what we're seeing on the books and holding at this point.
Isaac?
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, I think it's just more the same for me is what I'm seeing, right? And that's kind of scary because this is not great sameness, right? Because we've only grown RevPAR by 1.4%. So more of the same, even though, again, our forecast says we get to 2%, but it's going to be a lot of volatility. And that's what I keep telling my team is it's just every week is just volatility. It's not easy sailing, going back to the water stuff. It's going to be, you're going to have some gale forces every once in a while, and it's harder. It's going to be much harder. And one of the things, we literally just finished a piece I was working on today. It's so many things are happening. You have the recovery still happening in transient, and you have changing business or patterns completely how way people travel, and all this is coming together right at the same time. And so there'll be some normality, but when that will actually occur is anyone's guess, because everything's still changing. And I think that's the key.
Right. Charles.
Yeah. From a company perspective, I'll just say, 2024 has been great. You know, we added more hotels to our portfolio. We have another 7 in the pipeline here for the back half, either, under contract, existing properties or new and development and opening properties. So we're really excited from that standpoint. And we're just seeing that situation where when asset managers can't make changes to SOFR and CPI, but they can make changes to their management company to see if they can impact EBITDA. That's what they're doing. In terms of looking forward, I would say that, from our perspective, it does seem like RevPAR growth will probably remain muted somewhat through the end of the year. CPI pressure continues to be there. But I would say transactions are probably going to accelerate modestly. And I say that for really three reasons. One, there's a lot of sideline capital, groups like Blackstone and Brookfield that are talking about placing billions of dollars over the course of upcoming few months. And a lot of that's likely to, we have investors who are teeing up transaction to coincide with the predicted September rate cut. And I would think, so sideline capital, I say maturing debt, right? I mean, there's a staggering amount of hotel debt that matures this year. And a lot of that was already kicked down the road and deferred from 2022 and 2023. And then number three, I think it's the overdue renovations, right? There's a lot of pressure and properties that are in brand red zones that need to pip or get out, right? Get out of the system. So I think those three things will drive some transaction accelerations as we get towards the end of the year and rolling into 2025.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much for your time today, guys. And this is great. These were great insights that you provided, and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Good to see you guys.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you would like more content like this, please subscribe to Lodging Magazine on YouTube. You can also subscribe to Lodging on Demand wherever you get your podcasts. For news and updates, follow at Lodging Magazine on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Or visit us at lodgingmagazine.com.